y'all. Welcome to The Soap Opera, a DIY soap making podcast. I've got some wonderful episodes planned for you in the future, but first, let's go over what kinds of tools and ingredients we'll need to make this experience as easy and as fun as we can. Now, I'll be going over the list of tools and ingredients you'll want to have to make soap, and you can also find this list in the show notes, along with suggestions of places to find these tools if you don't already have them. You can follow along with me using that list if you like, but for now, let's get started. Each episode, I'll be using the same basic recipe for the soap to keep things as simple and as cost-effective as I can. As the episodes progress, I might introduce one or two new ingredients for you to play with, but these are by no means necessary for you to make the soap that you'll love. First things first, make sure none of the tools you're using are made of aluminum or are aluminum plated. We use lye in our soaps, and that reacts poorly when it comes into contact with aluminum, producing chlorine gas. So keep all your aluminum tools far away from your soap. To make the kinds of soaps I'll be teaching you about, you'll only need tools that you can find in any kitchen or restaurant supply store. You'll need a large microwave-safe or stovetop-safe bowl for mixing your ingredients together, a kitchen scale so you can measure out your ingredients by weight, a silicone or rubber spatula, an immersion blender, and a loaf soap mold. You can also use thick silicone cupcake molds if you like. Make sure they're thick enough to hold the weight of the soap without collapsing. You'll also need a face mask. One of the cheap paper ones works fine, and some rubber gloves. This will keep you from touching or inhaling any lye while you're mixing your soap. I like to mix my soap with an immersion blender because it speeds up the whole soaping process. But if you prefer to mix your soap by hand, you can use a stiff metal whisk or a dough whisk. Contrary to what some websites may advise, you can use kitchen tools for your soaping tools, but I only recommend doing that if you're not going to share that soap with anybody. You never know who might have a food allergy, and you certainly don't want to give someone soap containing that allergen. Next, let's talk about ingredients. This is the place where I see the most confusion and general anxiety online with people who want to make soap. What ingredients should I use? Do I need to use this or that? Can I make this using another oil I have in my pantry? Why does this soap have lard in it? Well, friends, I'd like to help simplify this process for you. I find ingredients to be a very personal thing. Everyone has different sensitivities, and that can impact how certain soaps react with your skin. For instance, I have a friend who is allergic to coconut products. Of course, in this day and age, everything you find in the store has some form of coconut in it. I can't imagine how hard it is for her to find shampoo or face wash that doesn't make her break out in a rash. But that's the beautiful thing about making your own soap. You can control which ingredients you use. Personally, I have incredibly sensitive skin. Most of the facial cleansers and soaps and washes that I find in stores end up irritating it. I spent several years evaluating and testing out dozens of different soap ingredients until I found the combination that worked best for me. There's a lot of science involved in why these particular ingredients are so gentle on your skin, but I won't bore you with that. Instead, I'll outline the ingredients I'll be using for the base recipe, the recipe that I'll be using in almost every episode. I'll talk about what these ingredients are and what possible replacements you could use if you find that you're sensitive to that particular ingredient. The first ingredient is lard, which provides an excellent texture to the soap. I get a lot of questions from people about why I use lard and not an animal-free product such as palm oil. The reason is simple. I get my lard locally, and by doing that, I can be more confident in the fact that it's sustainably farmed and that I'm also supporting local business by doing so. You could probably find a small family farm that is more than eager to give you lard for free or for a very cheap price. If you can't get lard from a local farm, visit a butcher shop and ask them for lard instead. You can render your own, but I like to find mine pre-rendered if possible, because it's less labor-intensive on my end. If you can't find lard, but you can find tallow or beef fat, you can use that as well. You can also use palm oil if you want. The second ingredient is babassu oil. This is an ingredient I stumbled across when I was trying to find a suitable replacement for coconut oil. Coconut oil and babassu oil both help firm up the bar of soap, and they add a lot of huge, crazy bubbles to the lather. While coconut oil is much easier to find, you can find it in most grocery stores, I prefer to use babassu oil because it is so much gentler on the skin than coconut oil is. However, you can use coconut oil if you like. The third ingredient is olive oil. Olive oil has been used for millennia to make soap. It's one of the gentlest, softest ingredients you can find. I love using olive oil in my soap because it leaves my skin feeling soothed and nourished afterwards. I also find that hemp oil and avocado oil are both excellent to use alongside or in place of olive oil. Hemp oil in particular is especially good for people who experience severe redness or dryness on their skin. And of course, the last ingredient is lye, specifically sodium hydroxide. Soap is not soap without lye. When lye is mixed with animal or vegetable oils, it undergoes what's called an exothermic reaction, meaning that it generates a lot of heat. If you use enough oil, all the lye will be gone by the end of the soaping process, and you'll be left with a lovely bar of soap at the end. You can usually find lye at any hardware store, but make sure you're buying the 99% sodium hydroxide. Otherwise, you may experience some issues with the soap formula. Goodness, that was a lot of information, wasn't it? But don't worry, I'll be starting off with the simplest recipe I know for the next episode. I'm going to teach you how to make 100% Castile soap. Make sure you have a second soap mold on hand, since Castile soap takes several weeks to become solid, and you won't be able to use your soap mold while it's hardening. Once the soap is hardened, you still won't be able to use it for at least another year, but I can promise you that the results are worth it. Castile soap is unparalleled in its gentleness, and it's one of the nicest soaps to use for all skin types. I look forward to teaching you how to make this wonderful soap. But for now, it's time to sign off so you can go gather up all your tools and ingredients. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, happy sudsing! The soap opera was created by me, Sarah Wheatley. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review the show on iTunes, or tell your friends and family about it. Spreading the word makes all the difference. If you have any questions about soap, tools, or ingredients, you can contact me through the links provided in the show notes. If you want access to exclusive episodes featuring specialty ingredients, you can become a patron for as little as $1 a month. Many thanks to Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com for the music. If you want to challenge your soap-making skills some more, I recommend checking out humblebeeandme.com, a wonderful website with tons of science-based soap, skincare, and makeup recipes. If you want to purchase any of the soap I made for this show, you can find it at shiresuds.com. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Soap Opera. Happy sudsing!